Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is April 11th, 2015, and I'm so glad you joined us at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois. My prayer tonight is that we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit and become bold witnesses for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Tonight's title of the show is Put on the Full Armor of God. And folks, I truly believe we need to put on our spiritual armor so we can take on the wicked schemes of the evil one. As Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So as Christians, as true followers of Jesus Christ, we have power through Jesus Christ to take on Satan and his minions. Jesus has promised us that he is with us. We have nothing to fear. Jesus has empowered us. As we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, we are told to put on the full armor of God. It reads, Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. So Paul is telling us through Ephesians chapter 6, we have a spiritual battle going on daily with Satan and his minions. Our question may be, well, how do we take on the devil and his wicked schemes, his lies, his darkness? Well, folks, we have a king. He is our savior. He is our teacher. He is our comforter, our healer. He is our God. With Jesus, we have the Son of God who defeated Satan and death. We have the name above all names. Acts 4, verse 12 reads, Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Amen. So Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. Time is running out for Satan and his minions. I truly believe with the world getting more evil, the world getting darker, all the signs and wonders in the sky, I say it's time. It's time we need to put on our full armor to fight for the Lord. I believe that Jesus is returning soon. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it reads, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And some of these false prophets are preachers that you find in some of these prosperity churches that don't teach repentance. But we've got false prophets all over the place, even in our own Christian churches. in. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So just like our believers during the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came with power and empowered the disciples, we too have that same Holy Spirit power. We too can become a dynamite church of believers. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it reads, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Amen. So folks, we the Church of Jesus Christ, we need not be fearful. We need not be hesitant or not confident. As warriors for Jesus Christ, we can take on our enemies, putting on the full armor of God. Amen. Okay, let's take a break, folks, and then after this song, we'll take some calls, and then what I want to do is talk about the full armor of God. We'll discuss that. So I hope you enjoy this song, and that song is How Great Is Our God. I hope you enjoy.
Beginning and the end.
Awesome song, folks. How great is our God? I'll just read a couple of the verses again. I love that song. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Amen. Awesome. Well, I hope you enjoyed that song, folks. Tonight I'm talking about putting on the full armor of God. And I think sometimes we don't equip ourselves fully. Sometimes we just tend to overlook things. And I was just looking at all the different forms of armor that we put on ourselves. And you know what? Before I keep going on here about talking about the armor, the full armor of God, let me give out the number. That number to call in is 347-989-0095. And I hope all you folks out there had a wonderful Easter. You were able to go to Easter service and praise God, sing and shout and praise God as loud and as joyful as you could. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, like I said before, I was discussing about the different points about putting on the full armor of God and how sometimes we don't put on our full armor. We tend to let things go. As I'm looking down at the list, when I was reading from Ephesians chapter 6, you know, it talks about that that this battle, before I read the different forms of armor. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." God's word's telling us, you know, sure, there's enemies, there's physical enemies on this earth, but the true enemy is not of flesh and blood. Because if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, right? Absence in a body is presence with the Lord. My enemy is Satan, right? And his minions and his demons that try to destroy my faith, right? Tell me lies. Break my confidence in Jesus. Shout doubts out to me about how my faith, how I'm losing my faith. I mean, Satan has ways that he does not want us to be close to the Lord. He wants to pull us away. So that is our enemy, folks. We are dealing with this is a spiritual battle. Sometimes they're small battles, sometimes they're big. So I'm going to start by going down the list of all the different points that Ephesians 6 talks about. What I'll do, let me get back to Ephesians 6. Find that right spot. Bear with me. Okay, I will go to, this is about verse 13, where it says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand." Okay, so that means to be firm. Stand. Hold your ground. Right? Stand your ground. Be firm. Be firm in your faith and be firm in your fight. Know the word of God. Stand firm. Know his word. Know his promises. Know that you're a child of God. Know that you're saved. Okay, you know what? I do have a call. So let me take that call. Thanks for calling NoBetterWay.net.
Hello there.
Well, hello, my son David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good, good, good. Taking on a powerful subject, Dave. Putting on the full armor of God. We've got to fight against the enemy, Satan. And I was just mentioning how Satan wants to separate us, put a wedge between God and ourselves. He does not want us to have a close relationship. So he's always, throwing arrows, casting doubt. Just doing anything he can to destroy or hinder our faith. So that's where I was in my discussion.
Yeah, and as I was reading that passage, just kind of struck me that it says our battle is not against flesh and blood. I think one of the devil's tricks a lot of times is really to get us to hate other people or see other people, that have differing ideas than us or whatever. As the main enemy, when really the devil's the main enemy and is the one that desires all people to be destroyed. And I think if we look at life that way, where the battle's a spiritual one, and the devil's the enemy, and there are those that have put their faith in Christ and are saved, and those who aren't saved, and we should understand that, that there's going to be a war waged for every soul, and God desires to save, all people, and we just need to love people and pray for people as much as they, might be an enemy to us in the flesh. God wants us to love everyone, even our enemies, and I think just kind of seeing that the fight is bigger than, this person annoyed me or this person hurt me. Well, we need to trust God with all that and love God and love them.
Yeah, well, what doesn't one of God's commandments, love your enemy, right? Not easily done. Sometimes we struggle, and we need to pray, and it might take a while, but yeah, like you said, the true enemy is Satan and his minions. That what did Jesus call Satan? He was a liar and a murderer ever since the beginning, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy. He would like to take every human being to hell with him because he knows that's his destiny and his time is short. But Jesus is, he loves us, and in Peter he says he's patient and he wants none to perish. So like you say, we have to look past the fact that sure we have people that get on our nerves and it's easy to hate them, but like you said, God wants us to love them and bring them to faith in Jesus. Be a vessel for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, and the war is really Jesus already won the war and defeated sin and death on the cross, and people just have to believe in him. Jesus calls us to follow him, to love him, and we'll obey him. And the warfare that goes on a daily basis is who's going to follow me and who's not. And a lot of times it can be hard to follow because the devil would trick us into thinking, the devil's a liar, but the devil try to trick us into thinking that God's way is not the best way for us, that we'll be more happy doing things our way, the world's way. We'll be more happy if we're mad at someone and we just lay into them. And if the devil try to trick us thinking we'll be more happy if we let hatred spill out of us and selfishness and tricks into thinking money is more important than God and all these other different lies that he's tricking us with. And that's why we have to put on the full armor of God to be prepared to wage war. I mean, anyone who's honest will admit that following Jesus is very hard, especially since everyone has their thorns in the flesh, the sins that they battle with on a daily basis, And that's a battle we can't win without God, and that's why where the full armor comes into play.
Yeah. Did you want to go down the list, as you know, the Bible mentions, like the first one, the belt of truth. I see a little note in my Bible how Satan fights us with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like truth, but only believers have God's truth, which can defeat Satan's lies, which I thought was a pretty good little note about, you know, the belt of truth.
Yeah, you have to be wise. And God gives the wisdom to see the real truth nowadays, because everyone advertises that they have the truth, that their way is the right way. And obviously we, you know, as we go down the list, we're going to see scripture is a big part of it, determining what the truth is, and when the lie comes to hate people or seek revenge or seek selfish pleasures or pleasures of this world over God, when those lies come, we must understand, we must look to God's truth, that these things will never satisfy. Only true life is found in Jesus.
Yeah, it is a struggle, like you said before, Dave. You start thinking short term, and you're trying to justify something that, you know, okay, it might bring me some pleasure, whatever, you know, and then you have to seek God's wisdom and, you know, read his word and pray and realize, you know what, that is not a good idea, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the next one?
The next one is the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about how the breastplate of righteousness, Satan often attacks our hearts, the seat of our emotions, our self-worth and trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our hearts and ensures his approval. He approves of us because he loves us and sent his son to die for us. That's a pretty good note.
Yeah, I think, protecting our hearts, because once we allow our hearts to be deceived, that, you know, we're going to find what we want outside of God, or we're going to be better off or happier living in the sins. We just kind of continue to do these things because we've let our hearts be deceived that this is an okay way or the better way. But I think, you know, in our moments of clarity, we see that, you know, this is no way to live at all. This is really just life in the flesh is just like death, and guarding our hearts from believing Satan's lies is key, and living a righteous life is that God calls us to. You know, God gives us the strength to do that and protects us, and when we do that, that protects our heart.
Yeah. And I was just thinking of people that slip, they drift away from God, Dave, and sometimes maybe their hearts get broken, and they might get I could say that happened to me, where my heart was broken when my father died, and I drifted from God, and so God is good, like the good shepherd, though he will take that sheep that wanders away, and he'll go and he'll gather them up again. So, I mean, as humans, it is possible that we can drift away.
Yeah, and it's cool that it talks about, you know, it being God's righteousness, because, I mean, anyone who's battled sins in their lives, you know, you battle, but a lot of the battle is prayer and asking God to win the victory for you, because I think we learn pretty quick as a believer that it's really the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms our hearts and helps us to live in his way. So seeking after God's righteousness, seeking after the life he has for us is what will really protect our hearts.
Very good, very good. The next one, it talks about standing firm-footed, like, standing firm. And what it says is, Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is a worthless and hopeless task. The size of the task is too big, and the negative responses are too much to handle. But the footgear God gives us is the motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace that is available in God, news everyone needs to hear. Those are good words.
Yeah, you think about standing firm, you think about being in the battle, and there's times in the battle where the soldiers will be, it seems like they're losing. They're getting pelted on all sides, and there's times where there's great victories, but regardless of what's going on, standing firm. And a lot of times too, the soldiers will fight for each other, will fight for the sake of love and fight for what they believe is right. And if we believe that God died for our sins and rose again and calls us into a life lived for Him, following Him, self-sacrifice, being willing to lose yourself in order to find yourself, you stand firm, and you're able to do that when you trust God. And if you don't trust God, then you're going to get weak at the knees and just kind of cave into culture. I think we all sin in that way sometimes when we get scared or we get frustrated and we just kind of, or we want to fit in. So we just kind of cave in and kind of do what other people around us are doing instead of standing firm. So we always got to remember what Christ did for us and remember that we're in a battle, but be ready.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, we might get rejected 3, 4, 5 times in a row, and then we might say, okay, I'm going to just back off a little. Just keep the good fight, right? Stand firm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're sharing the word and just even living the life every day, because every day is a battle within our hearts, because obviously, the devil wants us to slip up. He wants all Christians to fall on their face so he can say, ha ha, look, it's not what you think it is, and try to use that to deceive people. So you always need to stand true for what you believe in public and private and in all walks of life. And we need to be praying more for God's strength. And I think a lot of times we don't really think of this, right? We don't think about the whole big spiritual warfare going on. We just consider the regular ebb and flow of life, but really there's war going on all around us that we just can't see. And it's attacking our hearts and those around us and trying to trip us up into falling back into a life of sin. And we just need to stand firm against that, because there's a lot at stake. There are people that need to hear the gospel, like you said, and we're to be witnesses for Christ. So if we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, sharing His word, His truth, it's hard to tell someone something if you don't live it, right?
Be a witness.
Tell someone not to yell, Tell someone, don't yell at people while you're yelling at them. call someone out of something while you're doing it yourself. We've all find ourselves in those situations where we're telling someone what to do when we're not doing it ourselves, and we need to be living the life that represents Christ.
Yeah. I think I need one thing you're talking about is praying and looking at the big picture. I know I need to pray more, and I think if I would pray more, I feel like that would strengthen me. It would give me strength. I always feel after a deep prayer that I could feel the Holy Spirit present and just kind of lifts me up, and I just feel filled, and I just need to do more of that, Dave.
Me too, everybody. And everyone should, can probably say that. Maybe there are people out there praying 20 hours a night, but we can have certain times to pray, and there are times we could be praying throughout our day. And I just think a lot of what we need is just to be, just to wake up, you know, just a cold water poured in our face and say, you know, don't be lukewarm. You know, Revelation says God spits out the lukewarm. And I think a lot of our sin is living lukewarm, you know, pretending like, you know, we believe in Jesus, but I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of just living just like everyone else does, and not recognizing the spiritual battle that we're in, not recognizing the importance of our decisions, the importance of our faithfulness to God, the importance of sharing the gospel and obeying and loving Jesus. And we just need to repent of that and press forward in the fight.
More passion, huh, Dave? More, you know, I don't know. I love a person that does things with passion, whether it's sports or a preacher, you know, or just people living a life. You know, that appeals to me. You know, it should be telling me that, okay, how about you? A little more passion, Rudy. How about you, Dave? A little more passion in your life with Christ.
But I'm not fired up.
Because there's this, you know, there's several preachers that I really love because they just have such a, you can hear, you know, you can feel that Holy Spirit and that passion for God and sharing the gospel. And I just find it very cool. I like it. I think that's appealing to a lot of people when they see that. They say, like, boy, this guy, he's for real.
He made a lot of different types of personalities, but I think people could sense when you really love Jesus, and you know, it's they can sense when it's authentic or not. And you know, even not everyone's going to agree with us, but you know, if we share Christ lovingly, you know, that's a good witness to the world. Even though some people will still hate us, Christ says that's true, but we just need to stay awake and realize there's a lot at stake. You know, you know, if we believe that only Christians get to go to paradise and be with God forever, then there's, you know, millions and millions of people on the road to hell all around us. So it's either we believe that or we don't. If we don't believe that, then we're not being faithful what Scripture teaches. If we do believe it, as every Christian should, then we should really be concerned about people. We should we should really love people. We're not talking about a, you know, time out. You're not going to get ice cream tonight. We're talking about eternity away from God, and that's a sad prospect. And we got people in our families. We got neighbors, you know, friends, coworkers that don't believe in Jesus, and if we treat life as just this is just everyday life, no big deal, then you know we're blinding ourselves to the seriousness of every decision that we make.
Yeah, in a sense, isn't it like the workers where Jesus gave so much money to each of the workers, right? And they were supposed to invest it. And you know, and take that whatever that $1,000 and make $2,000 or whatever. So God has given you something to invest in, and what are you going to do with it? Just bury it like that one guy did? And what did Jesus call him? Or he called him a wicked servant. I don't want to be accused of being, you know, God has given us a gift, and we should take it and use it to, you know, spread the gospel, not bury it.
Yeah, the picture that comes to my mind when I think about that is just a church that's become kind of a social club, you know, where all these people have believed in Jesus and figured out how they like to do church, but they're not really that interested in reaching out to other people. They just kind of want to keep things the way that they like it.
Comfortable.
They've believed in Jesus, and they've accepted Jesus, and they've kind of buried that truth underground to protect and, you know, kind of shield themselves from the evil in the world and stuff like that. But God calls us to more. He calls us to invest our lives, you know, in the truth of the gospel.
And they've forgotten the great,
boldly proclaim the great that truth with the world around us. Yeah.
The Great Commission, Dave, right?
Yep. Go into all of our every nook and cranny. You know, there's a people group that hasn't heard the gospel yet, then we should be, you know, praying for that they will hear it, you know, doing what we can to help in the process. And there's so many different battles going on in the world for so many people that are too weak to protect themselves, and, you know, and just need to be willing to go out and do God's will in the world. And it's not going to be easy.
No, I'm gonna move on, Dave. I've got three more pieces of armor we got to work on before the night's up. And you know what? Our conversation's going so well. The time is just flying. Okay, we've got the shield of faith. Okay, and what the little note I have in my book is, what we see are Satan's attacks in the form of insults, setbacks, and temptations. But the shield of faith protects us from Satan's fiery darts. With God's perspective, we can see beyond our circumstances and know that the ultimate victory is ours.
We need to put our faith in Jesus, and the devil's temptation is always to trick us into thinking his way is better, or the world's way is better. And you see that happening a lot nowadays. People just trying to water down the word of God. And you need to maintain faith in what Jesus teaches. He's the Lord. He's the creator of the universe. So I'm going to listen to the Lord and creator of the universe, especially, and as opposed to someone that says, well, that says that's a sin, but you know, the world's changed. We've learned more. Well, the Bible teaches me that God never changes, you know.
And we were born that way.
God teaches me that, you know, the world, that the Lord never changes. And God is the most loving being that there can ever be. So I'm going to trust that He knows best for people, and He knows best for us. And the Bible says something, I'm like, well, I don't really get why it works that way or why it teaches that I'm gonna put my faith in God. And that's what the devil does, right? That's what Jesus does when the devil tempts him in the wilderness. The devil tells lies and tries to seduce Jesus with power and all these different things, and He says, no, God's word says this, God's word says that, God's word says this. So we just need to do stand on the word of God, and it's going to be people that stand in the word of God and faith. Like you said, stand firm and have faith, put their faith in the word of God. They're going to be able to avoid the arrow blasts, and the people that cave in are going to be blasted with the arrows in their hearts. And the sad thing is, they're going to keep walking along thinking they got the truth on their side, but they got an arrow that penetrated their hearts with lies, you know?
Yeah, and the sad thing is, Dave, a lot of people think they're in a church, you know, they're happy where they're at, yet, you know, they're being taught that things that are against God's commandments, they've accepted it at that church, that's a dangerous place to be.
Yep, that's why if you're at a church that's that focuses everything on God's word and Jesus-centered, and you know, if it's not, and be sure to match up what you know your church teaches. If your pastor says things and you're like, well, the Bible seems to say this, you've got to do that more, you know. You wind up saying, I'm not so sure about that. You know, be sure to check your Bibles and make sure what they're teaching lines up with the Word of God, because there's a lot of places that use the word church but aren't really a church of Jesus, because, you know, they've slipped off into false teachings about a bunch of stuff nowadays. And you're right, you gotta put the shield up and protect yourself from lies, and put your faith in Jesus and His Word is the way you can do that.
Well, even Paul, when he, right, it goes where he was teaching the Bereans, it says, don't just believe everything I tell you. He says, go back to the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, and you'll see that what I'm telling you is true. But even Paul told the Bereans to check the Word of God. So as mm-hmm. believers, that is our job, to constantly, you know, check the Word, like you said, huh? This doesn't seem right. And if it keeps going that way, then you have to confront that church. And if they're going to keep going that way, then you have to seriously consider finding a Bible-believing church and not stay there.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck in Scrambleville.
Yeah. So, okay, we've got two left, Dave. Okay, the helmet of salvation is the next piece of armor. And a little note I have, Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. He wants us to doubt that. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work for us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Scripture is clear that, you know, we're saved by what Christ does, not what we do. But all the religions of the world outside of Christianity teaches, you know, works-based salvation. So it's easy for the devil to use that as a trick, you know, like, oh, you messed up again. No, you're not really a follower of Jesus. You're going to hell. You do too many bad things. Scripture is clear that, you know, Jesus died for those sins. So you can't, if you want to honor Jesus, you trust Him and believe that His death on the cross was enough to pay the penalty for your sins. And not think that you can do something good enough to save yourself. It's actually kind of insulting to Jesus. And you know what I'm saying? That He would die such a horrific death for your sins, and that you would doubt that that's good enough to save you. It certainly is. Anyone who put their faith in Jesus will be saved based on what Jesus has done for us. And the devil will try to get us to doubt that. And we're all going to have seasons of, you know, we're struggling with sins and the main thing is to continue to repent of your sins. And the thing is, you know, you get that feeling of forgiveness from God when you truly repent of your sins. I think the times where we really get, the devil gets kind of a foothold in our mind about not being saved, are the time in our lives where we're continuing to sin, do it over and over and over again every day, not really seeming to repent. We don't really... We're struggling with something, we really need to get on our face and pray to God for forgiveness of that. Ask Him to take that away. You know, be accountable for your actions. And
Dave, I heard a pastor say how strong repentance is. He says that when a Christian comes and turns away from his sin, when he truly repents, he destroys any work that the devil's doing in that sinner's life. It just totally destroys whatever he's doing. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, just whatever the schemes and lies and whatever Satan's doing to really mess up that Christian's life at that time, the moment that person turns, repents, you know, and ask God to forgive his sins and what, you know, turn, that all that work that Satan had been doing in their life to destroy it or put a wedge, that all of that is just you know, blown away, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, when you repent of your sins, turn away from them, put your faith in Jesus, you're saved at that point, receive the Holy Spirit, and we continue to repent of our sins as believers. Yeah, that once for all salvation through Christ is true, is the truth. But repentance needs to be a continual thing, you know. As fallen sinners, we need to continue to repent of our sin. Some people become Christians and then I think that's a license to act scrambled and sin all the time, because Jesus already died for me, so I might as well act like a scramble light because he died for me. But reality
well,
is just,
yeah, they're acting like, okay, I've got an insurance policy, everything's good. So yeah.
Well, that's,
yeah.
I mean, if someone's doing that, I'd say watch The Passion of the Christ and look what Jesus had to pay for your sins, and then, you know, I think they'll think twice about
yeah.
Thinking that way, you know.
I know. Yeah, that movie tore me up, David. It's hard to watch, but it's good to watch. So we, I mean, I think Mel Gibson, right? Yeah, I thank him for making such a powerful movie that I can appreciate. You know what Jesus?
Well, the
did
idea
for
of it,
all of us.
The idea
yeah.
he had was that it'd be so gruesome that you wouldn't even want to look. You'd want to look away, but you also need to face it. So it's the same thing with sin in our life. I think a lot of times we know it's scrambled, so we just want to look away from it. We just want to ignore it. But to really deal with it, you have to face it head on and pray for God to be by your side to help you face it. So that's kind of that's how we should see sin. That should, just like it was we were disgusted to see people treating Christ that way, we should be disgusted at the sin in our life, because we know how much price that cost Jesus, and be bold enough to face it with God's help.
Amen to that. Okay, we got one more, Dave. The last one, and it's the only weapon of offense. It's the sword, and it's the Word of God. It's called the Word of God. And the little note I have is, the sword is the only weapon of offense in the list of armor. There are times when we need to take the offensive against Satan. When we are tempted, we need to trust in the truth of God's word. Amen.
Yeah. There's just power in God's word. You know, we saw Jesus speaking scripture when he was tempted in the wilderness, and, you know, the God's spirit, God's word, just that's where the power comes from, you know. And time and again, that's what we say, goes back to praying and praying and praying and trusting God, and we repent when we stray away from that. But, you know, God is more powerful than he who is in the world, and if our battle is against he who is in the world, then we should win, because we have the one who's more powerful on our side, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes. You know, I was reading the end of that reading. I'll read it real quick, Dave. When Paul's speaking, where he talks, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's those last words, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yeah.
As we all.
And and what came to my mind, I think about the two-edged sword and the Word of God. I think about if people out there have any questions, that God is more powerful, and God is the one who can give you victory over sin and death, and could help give you victory over the devil's schemes, and can give you victory over any stronghold that you've been held under, you know, by the devil's tricking you and tempting you into these different sins and addictions. You look at how God defeats the enemy in the end, and it doesn't talk about like a war with like machine guns and missile launchers and stuff like that. It's a battle that's won by the Word of God. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. So the picture is the enemy lining up with all these worldly weapons, and God just speaking, "You're dead," and they're done. So that's the power of the Word of God.
Word.
And if he's on your side, who can be against you, right?
Yeah, isn't it in Psalm 2 where it says all the nations rage? right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're lined up against God, they're gonna battle God, and it's the final battle, and God just laughs at them. You know, you guys are idiots. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, he loves them, but, you know, people reject God. There's consequences to that. And I just pray anyone out there listening will realize that God loves you more than anybody ever will. Jesus loves you more than anyone ever will. Turn to him. He can be a friend of God. You can be saved by Jesus. You can be adopted into the family of God and follow him. And that's an eternal blessing for you. It's to be saved by Jesus, you know, but without Jesus, there's no victory over sin and death. And this passage really teaches that there's victory to be had over sin, and that's through the power of Christ and his word. And just so thankful for him. I just pray that we have the courage to stand firm. And so many days we just selfishly just go through the motions, as opposed to realizing there's a calling each day on our life to do something to serve Jesus. I just pray that we wake up every day ready for battle and willing to go out there and serve Jesus in that way.
Yeah, well said, Dave. When you think about it, even in that final battle, you said, you know, when the nations were going to rage against God, and he does laugh, but like you said, he still loved all those people. You know, he would give them, you know, to the final moment to come to Christ. He doesn't want none of us to perish. So, like you said, David, if there's anyone out there, let tonight be your night of salvation. You know, don't wait, you know, and say, well, when I clean things up. Come as you are, just like the thief on the cross. He had nothing to offer Jesus. He just says, you know, remember me, and just cry out to the Lord. You know, you have nothing to offer. All you can say is, I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. You died for my sins. Thank you. Be my Savior. I want to follow you. You know, amen. Make it simple and sweet, and God will open his arms, and you'll be in his kingdom for eternity. And that'll be a blessed eternity. Amen.
Yeah, and I tell people, like, I wouldn't say this just to scare people, but I will, just to be honest, like, tomorrow's not promised. So, you know, some people put off God and say, you know, after my college years, I'll turn to Jesus, or after I have a family, or whatever they say. But Jesus deserves your all. He loves you, gave his whole life for you. He died for you and rose again. And don't delay. I mean, today is the day of salvation. While it's still called today, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know what day we're going to get into. We can, you know, something bad can happen. You never know. And just pray for everyone out there just to trust Jesus today.
Amen.
But I'll let you close out the show, and be praying that God will give us the courage to stand firm. And trusting in him and his power, and that people out there that haven't believed yet will believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have a good rest of your show.
Okay, Dave, thank you so much. It was a wonderful show tonight. We said a lot of, you know, good things. We shared a lot of good things, and we just pray blessings to all the folks out there. All right, Dave. Good night.
Yeah, good talking to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're winding down here, running out of time. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll play my closing song, which is How Great Thou Art. So hope you like that. Okay, Lord, thank you for tonight's show. Talked about putting on the full armor of God. And the thing I keep thinking about is how your word of God, your word, Lord, is what gives us hope. We can read the gospel, the good news, and we have hope. Through belief in you, Lord, right? We come to faith in you, and we have hope. We have eternal hope. And Lord, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for not only dying for us, but giving us this beautiful way that we can come to you, this way of salvation, way of eternity, just to repent and turn to you, right? We're sorry for our sins. We realize that you died for our sins, you're our Savior, and that this is such a beautiful way for salvation. And I pray for all the hearts out there tonight. And I pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Everyone have a blessed night.
Thank you so much.